The landscape of WWE, once ruled by modern-day titans, powerful warriors.
The Ultimate Warrior!
Gallant competitors.
Macho Man Randy Savage.
And immortal icons.
Hulkamania is running wild!
All fortifying their legacy through acts of valor and feats of strength.
Look at this! He's landed!
But as time passed, a new generation of heroes emerged. Flamboyant show stealers.
Here's the Heartbreak Kid.
Excellent executors.
Best there ever will be.
And gaudy bad guys.
Ready to rumble.
All on the rise in WWE.
From the Hitman Hart, Justine Jefferson.
Biggest dreams can still come true.
With the fall and departure of Hulkamania from WWE, this wave of brash, unapologetic, and charismatic superstars displayed an explosive in-ring style unlike any generation before it. And launched the careers of future WWE Hall of Famers.
Excellence of execution.
And let's face it. We're the new generation.
Hey everybody, this is going to be a little bit different of a episode than I normally do. It's a special, and this is going to have to do with the crowdsourcing arena that's up right now. And I just wanted to make a case and a plea, if you will, to everybody out there that's listening to make this happen. Today is August the 10th, and we've got until the 13th. To make this happen. Right now we're sitting at 48%, 2,418 backers as of this recording. Usually my episodes are for everybody, so if you're a wrestling figure collector from just a few to a few hundred or even a few thousand, I want you to be a part of the podcast. This episode's a little bit different. If you're a collector with a large collection, I'm talking to you. If you're a collector who's on the fence about this crowdsource, I'm talking to you. We got to make this happen, guys. And so I just wanted to go over a couple of the things that I'm hearing out there, and hopefully I can persuade you, change your mind, or at least have you open up your mind and think about this. Some of the things I've been hearing is the ring's too big. I have too many rings. If you've got another ring, you can sell it. This ring is going to be major. I've been collecting for decades. This is the best looking ring I've ever seen in my life. So if you got too many rings, sell them off. Go with this one. Or you can sell this one off and keep the rest of the set and get half your money back just with the ring. Keep in mind that the ring breaks down just like a real ring. So if storage is an issue, you can break it down, put it away, or store it away. And don't put it out if you're not going to use it. But you can also sell it. Just keep in mind that this is a limited edition ring. Probably won't be made again. They've only really made one real scale ring, and it wasn't exactly on par with what they're making this time. So I would highly recommend getting it. If you're into having a ring, this is the ring you want to have. If you're not into having a ring, just keep in mind this is going to be a collectible deal, and people are going to pay for this thing. You're going to get your money back, and you might even pay for the whole crowdfund. It's not unheard of to see a ring like this go for a couple $100. I mean, even the Raw and SmackDown rings are selling for over $200 or $300, and they weren't real scale. So another thing I'm hearing is it costs too much. There's a lot of people out there that bought 4 Sergeant Slaughters on the day they went on sale. There's people out there buying cases of figures at Walmart and Target, just grabbing a case. So I'm not really sure the thought process on this costing too much. Like I said, when you think about everything that you're getting, when you think about the figures, the announce table, the ring, the entrance stage, the ring skirts, you're definitely covering the $250. These are not just elites off the pegs for $19. These are limited edition. They're going to be highly sought after. Even if you think Diesel or Doink maybe aren't, the top of the list for figures that you want. They are going to be wanted, and especially after people... Look, when this thing's made, the hysteria is going to kick in, and you're going to see Diesel and Doink easily fetching, I think, I'm predicting, over $100 on eBay or Mercari. And the Macho Man figure, if you order by Friday, that dude's going to be worth $200 easy. So that one figure is going to pay for pretty much this whole set if you choose to sell it. If you don't choose to sell it, it's not hard to add up everything else that's in the set. Like we mentioned, the ring is going to be worth at least $100. I think it could sell for $200. The table and the skirts, you know, they're going to fetch some money. And you could sell any or all of those figures. As far as the kind of anti-new generation stuff that I've seen or heard, you got to remember that going back, I mean, some people probably weren't even alive during this time, but going back to primetime wrestling days and then turning into this quote-unquote new generation era, it was a huge breakthrough for wrestling. It was an innovational period, and it was groundbreaking. I mean, going from taped shows to the Manhattan Center and Hammerstein Ball, that was a huge breakthrough for wrestling. So I think there's kind of a stigma with the new generation, with the different vocational characters and some of the goofy stuff that was written in there. But you also got to remember that this stage was the first stage really in wrestling. I mean, prior to that, there was a curtain. And so no matter what stage you're into, this is the granddaddy of them all. I mean, this is the one that started it all. So keep that in mind. And it's also a stage that was used by Hulk Hogan in that famous scene where he comes out at WrestleMania and kind of looks around to the crowd. And like Steve Ozer was saying on his interview, all the greats have come through this thing, you know, not just the vocational worker guys, but all the greats, Flair, Hogan, Savage, you name it, all walk through this thing. If you're a display person, this thing is going to make an awesome piece to set up in your display case. And you can just almost imagine different characters standing in front of it on display. So the other thing is, if you're anti-new generation, stop and think that that's the generation of The Undertaker, Yokozuna, Owen Hart, Bret Hart, Adam Bomb, Mr. Perfect, the Steiner Brothers, Razor Ramon, Diesel, Shawn, even Max Moon. Okay, that's maybe not part of the list, but you get what I'm saying. And of course, Macho Man himself, and that's why this figure is going to be so incredible to have. That was just a time period that, for whatever reason, kind of has a negative stigma with some people, but in my mind, kind of unfairly so, because they were definitely like a wedge from the Golden Era to the Attitude Era, and they definitely brought their part to the table. That roster was pretty stacked looking back, and I'd take that roster over the rosters of today, not to, you know, belittle any of the guys out there, guys or gals out there today, but it was a stacked roster. I'd encourage people to go back and watch some stuff on the WWE Network. And yeah, it was cheesy at times, but there was a ton of classic wrestlers, and that arena was iconic. I mean, if you're into having a setup, it's going to be an arena that you can set up and not have as big of an arena set up as you would with like a today's, you know, stadium or larger arena setup. As an older collector in the community, I just want to do my best adulting promo here and say, when I was a kid playing with LJNs back in the 80s, we didn't have a lot of characters. We didn't have props and rings and entrances. Well, partially because there were no entrances back then, but I just think it's so cool that for the first time ever, we have a chance as wrestling fans to have something that every other genre of big toys, or just about every other genre, has been successful at. Star Wars, G.I. Joe, whatever. And do a crowdsource. I mean, we've talked about what if something like this could happen for years and decades for the older collectors. And now we've got a chance to make it happen. I know $250 is a lot of money. I would just encourage you to think about what's at stake, what's on the line. The fact that we may never get another chance at this again. They haven't said that, but they haven't said that's not the case. So to me, it comes down to, if you're a wrestling figure collector with a substantial collection, you know, a diehard collector, I guess you could say, not somebody who's only got a few and isn't that into it, but if you're really into it and you're on the fence about this, or maybe you've even said you're not going to do it, I would just ask you to think about it from the perspective that this could be our only shot at this as wrestling fans. We may never get another shot, but if this goes through, the possibilities are endless, man. A Nitro stage, an ECW backdrop, Barbershop, Piper's Pit, Primetime Wrestling. The sky's really the limit. I mean, there's so much cool stuff that could be done. And so many figures that might come in those sets that we might not get otherwise. As far as the 250 goes, I know it's a lot of money, like I said, but just try to keep in mind that you're going to get three figures that I can almost guarantee are going to sell for well over $100 in the resale game. So if maybe you don't want a doink, you could sell them off and probably get half of this money back just from that one figure. Savage, I think, is going to be north of 200. His elites have had a history of doing that. The Slim Jim still. And so I guess that's what I'm trying to encourage you to think of, is don't look at Savage as a $19 elite at Target. Look at him as a Slim Jim Comic-Con exclusive. And look at the Diesel and the Doink that way too. Because they're limited run, they're going to be high in demand. And if this thing gets made, just like the mail-aways for Hasbro, people went nuts for those just because they were mail-aways. They weren't any better of a figure than the ones that came out in the normal sets, but people had to have them, and they still do to this day. And I really think that's going to be the case with these figures in this set. Anything limited run, and even not limited, look at the Hasbro ring, how much a mint or minty Hasbro ring. Think how much that was fetching during the COVID crazy era. I think this ring and I think this entrance stage are going to be similar. I think you're going to be able to sell that entrance stage for a couple $100 easy, probably used. And I think if you keep it in the box and resell it, you're going to make a lot of money in 5 to 10 years from now. So guys, I broke my own format to do this episode. I wanted to do it because as a lifelong fan of wrestling figures, this is something that I'm absolutely ecstatic to have, and I'm really hoping it gets done, and we need everybody in the community to make it happen. Without everybody, it's going to fall short, and I think that'd be a tragedy, especially if this is our one and only shot. So maybe try to think about the set in those terms. Maybe that'll help put your mind at ease. This might not be the set that you would have wanted first, but I think you will be really excited to have it when it comes. That stage looks epic. It's the best ring ever made for wrestling figures, I think, from the prototype. And that Macho Man is going to be so incredible. If you need to sell off parts of it to get some of the money back, I mean, now you've got your set for half the price. Instead of 250, maybe you sell off stuff and you get 100 back, or you get 200 back, and you invest 50 to get something out of it that you want, and to keep the door open for an opportunity to get things that you might like even better down the road. But without this, that chance may not happen. So that's all, guys. I'm going to step off my soapbox, and I hope everybody out there understands what's at stake here for us as fans of wrestling figures, and we don't look at this nearsighted as, well, elites only cost $19. That's not what we're buying here, guys. These are going to be limited run. There is a much higher cost involved to manufacture a short run, you know, similar to Chella Toys or any of the guys that are making figures similar to the Hasbro style. Those figures, you're looking at them thinking, well, why is that more than Hasbro's were only $10 back in the day or whatever, and the retros were much less? Well, it's because of the run. And if you're not making a ton of them, you have more cost to absorb into the less number of figures that you make. I feel weird explaining that. I'm not trying to mansplain to anybody, but I feel like some of the comments that I'm seeing or hearing, maybe some people don't fully understand that, so I just want to throw that out there. But yeah, that's it. Support the line, man. We've all been into this for so long. I hope that Mattel keeps the line and we're doing this 10 years from now. For me, as a lifelong wrestling figure collector, this is an absolute dream come true, and I want to see it happen. And I like to think that there's at least 8,000 other people out there just like me. I know I'm not alone. We don't have to step up, but it sure would be nice if we did. My DMs are always open. If anybody wants to back this and you don't want the stage, you don't want the ring, you don't want Macho Man, whatever the thing is, slide into my DMs. Let me know. We can maybe work out a deal and I'll help you with some of the cost by buying part of it off of you. Guys, that's all I've got. I hope that if you listen to one of my episodes, this is the one you listen to. I hope that you back this thing. I hope that we make this happen. $250 is a lot of money. I'm not downplaying that at all. But I think when you look at your collection and you see how much money you have in it, $250 isn't really that much anymore. And maybe you move some of your figures to get some of the money to pay for it. Maybe you sell off some of the set to pay for it. Let's just make it happen. All hands on deck. If this is one figure community, like the hashtag said, this is the time we got to show it. Let's make it happen. And when this set hits, we're all going to be jonesing for what's coming next while we look at our awesome neon light entranceway and our displays. That's all I got, guys. Thanks for listening. Please get out there and back the set. And if you're still on the fence or you're still thinking no, slide into my DMs. Let's talk about it. I want you on board. I want this thing to happen. Thank you guys for listening. Thanks for checking out my podcast. Until next time, be well. Before I get out of here today, I just want to give a few shout outs and thank yous to some great podcasts and friends who have helped inspire me and push me along the way. First off, of course, I have to start with my buddy Drew Venzel. The guy's got a great podcast, one of my favorites of all time, Tales from the Estate, that he hosts with his wife, Caitlin Venzel. Not only does Drew have a great show, but he's an even better friend. Make sure you check out more Tales from the Estate with probably one of the nicest and coolest guys in the entire state of Ohio that I've ever run into, not named Venzel. I'm talking about Nick Haddix. Drew's got a new shirt coming out. The graphics look great. The artwork is great. Seth killed it on this design, just like he does all the time. So support Drew if you can. Support the shirt. Buy the shirt. Rep the shirt. Shout out to Fully Posable Wrestling Figure Podcast. Scott and Jeff are the longest running episodic wrestling figure podcast out there. They started the game and they continue to run it. Alright, I gotta put myself over. Check out their latest episode, To Catch Yours Truly, with a run-in. And speaking of Scott, check out Drunk Wrestling History. Episode 69 hit the airwaves, and guess who the topic of that show was? You got it. Val Venus. See what they did there? Drunk Wrestling History, they're not always accurate, but they're always drunk. But coming up, they're gonna have a more serious episode, paying homage to the great Paul Orndorff and his legacy in professional wrestling. Check it out. Shout out to Breaker and Bane, Breaker and Bane's Power Hour, as well as Breaker and Travis Fowler with the TV Toy Cast. And if you need more Breaker, check out Breaker and You Know It's Fake Right. Breaker's quickly turned into the Conrad Thompson of this community. Go support him. You'll enjoy all those shows. I know I do, each and every week. Shout out Breaker, Bane, and Travis Fowler. And shout out Dylan and Rob of the Wrestling Figure Database. If you're not checking out these guys' website by now, why not? They've got every single wrestler ever made on their website and an awesome searchability where you can just type in a guy's name and check out the figures that he has. Makes it real easy to see what you have, what you need, what you want. Go check out Dylan and Rob's Wrestling Figure Database. Shout out, boys. And shout out to Good Brother Mike, aka the Fig Hunter, and the whole Collectors Helping Collectors movement. I, for one, am grateful for you guys and all that you do. Don't listen to your detractors out there. I see snarky comments online. What if, what if, what if? Keep doing what you guys are doing. It's a positive thing for this community, and I appreciate all you guys. I've been helped out multiple times by guys just like me that are trying to help other collectors get what they want before the scalpers get them and put them online for $100. Shout out Collectors Helping Collectors. I also want to give a shout out to some of my friends that are figure photographers, collectors, and just all around great guys. Shout out to Adam Baum, aka Brian Clark. Shout out Figure Kingdom, Nate, aka Ring Skirts, Dobro, Nick Haddix, Steve Hoker, Ralphie Vibes, Custom Toy Rings, and Curb Stomp Customs. Shout out to everybody who's checked out the show and downloaded it, and I hope you enjoy it. But I'm going to keep pushing forward. I'm keeping it positive, and I hope you guys keep checking in. Keep tuning in, keep checking it out, and I'll keep putting stuff up. I've got a great one that I've had in the bank for a while that I was going to try to hold on to for a special episode, but that'll be the next episode coming out because I held on to it for too long, and I can't wait any longer to share it with you guys. So I want to say rest in peace, Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff. His matches and appearances on Saturday Night Main Event and seeing him in house shows back in the 80s meant the world to me and definitely solidified me as a wrestling fan. And I also have to say rest in peace to beautiful Bobby Eaton, one of the most underrated, greatest tag teams I've ever seen, and just one of the best all-around wrestlers. Gonna miss both of those guys, and their memories will last on forever. In closing, let me say it one more time. Let's get out there and support and back this Mattel crowdsourcing project. Guys, you've got till the end of the week to get an exclusive Macho Man that, trust me, when it comes out, every collector 10, 20, 50 years from now is going to wish they had a chance to get, and it's going to be worth a ton of money. Get out there, support the project. Let's get this thing done, man. So much goodness coming on the other side of this if we can reach our goal. Be nice to each other, be kind, and I hope you'll join me right here on Pulling Up a Chair next time. Thank you for listening to Pulling Up a Chair with a Chair Shot. If you enjoyed it, please help put the show over by telling a friend and clicking the subscribe button on Anchor, Google, Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. You will get instant notifications whenever a new show drops. You can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HairShot. That's A-C-H-A-I-R-S-H-O-T. You will want to keep an eye on my socials in the coming weeks. Trust me. Feel free to leave questions or audio comments on the show page on Anchor FM's website or email them to me directly at hairshot@gmail.com. Thanks for tuning in again, and until next week, Bobby.
All good things must come to an end, right?
Well, every time changes
and a
everything.
A friend in need is a pest.